sight of the Lord. That's what worship is called to be. Let's go to prayer, in prayer to God this morning. Holy, creating, creative God, we sing from the depths of our sorrow. We sing in voices separate and unique. We sing with one voice as your body. May the words of our mouths, whether in speech or in song, and the meditations of our hearts, whether in prose or poetry, be pleasing in your sight this day. We lift this prayer in the name of the one who lifts us up, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is a very familiar hymn to you also. Since Jesus came into my heart, let's stand and sing.
Thank you. church and all the loving and giving members. We lift up all our church members on the prayer list and our friends and families that are listed as well. We ask for your healing hand to be with them. Bless these gifts and the givers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, as we gather here today, we are humbled, we are honored, and we are inspired by the deep love Christ extended to the world. And we take seriously the call to be the body of Christ today. Father, forgive us when we disappoint and fail you. And guide us back to a place of trust and faithful living. Grant us the vision to see the world as you see it, not with our own eyes, but with your eyes, with love and compassion for each creature and all of your creation. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord and servant of the world. Amen. Again, let me extend a warm welcome and good morning to everyone this morning. Again, I'm sorry I was not able to be here last week, but I left you in good hands. It was a great time of worship last week, and it's good to be back, though. And thank you for joining us for worship here in the sanctuary, and for those joining us on Facebook Live this morning. It is a beautiful fall Sunday morning, isn't it? It was gorgeous. We drove into church this morning. Sun was shining. You start to see the leaves change just a little bit. Fall is here. Unfortunately, we're going to get a little bit of rain this week. Of course, we need the rain, but we're going to get a little bit of rain this week. So enjoying sunshine today. I encourage you to go outside, walk, enjoy the sunshine, because we may be a little bit wet this week. 2 weeks ago, I began a sermon series called Shift, as we talk about areas in our personal lives and as a congregation, as the life of our church, where we might need to experience some change, some shifting around that we may need to focus on. We looked 2 weeks ago at the story of the dry bones of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, and the need for our church and each of us individually to shift out of neutral, to not just stand around, not just stay where we are. And for that to happen, we talked about how we need to be filled with God's Spirit, submit to God's Word, and to yield to His sovereign will, and ultimately to commit to His purpose for us individually and as a congregation here at First Baptist Elon. Now, this morning, I want to focus a little bit more on the personal level today. We're going to talk about the church as well, but I want to focus
anybody know by the name of Hank Williams Jr., right?
Yeah.
Hank Williams Jr. has a song called Attitude Adjustment. In that song, for him, it requires a tire iron, a tire tool, a police dog, and a night in jail, or some combination in between, to get an official attitude adjustment. All right, anybody a Jimmy Buffett fan? Raise your hand. Jimmy Buffett. Okay, I'm a little bit more Jimmy Buffett than Hank Williams Jr. Perhaps he has the absolute best answer to how you go about an attitude adjustment. His breakout album that has his most famous song, Margaritaville, is rightly titled Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes. Now, for Buffett, changes in attitudes are the result of changes in latitudes. And literally what he means is, to change your attitude, you need to go south, you need to find a beach, you need to charter a sailboat, you need to get into the sun, you need to find a drink, and you will discover immediately a change in attitude. That's a little bit more my speed of what change in attitude comes about, right? Amen? Well, unfortunately, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. That's what the world says. That's the answer that the world gives you to the question is, how do we change our attitude? But it is possible to have a shift in our attitude that does not involve alcohol, a barroom brawl, or professional wrestling. The simple answer is yes, there's a better way. And the simple answer is that Jesus gave the disciples the exact answer, an attitude adjustment, on the last night he spent with them before he was arrested and eventually crucified. He did not do it by raising his voice. He did not do it by brandishing the holy tire iron. He did not do it by picking up Judas and dropping him on a table. Let's see what he showed us and how he modeled it to effectively have an attitude adjustment. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17 this morning. The words will be on the screen behind me. Pull up your phones if you got it. This is a very familiar passage. We've all probably read this before. And we're going to look at it maybe in a little bit different way this morning. But think about the attitude adjustment that Jesus was striving for. Remember, when we're talking about shifting our attitudes, our ultimate goal is shifting to be more like Jesus. Because if there's anything that we need to shift to, it's to be more like Jesus. That's the attitude that's our ultimate goal. Let's see what he says in this passage. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, of showing hospitality to guests, but it was also thought to be such a menial task that even Jewish slaves were exempt from it. We can let that for the Gentiles. They're the ones who had to wash the feet. If you want your feet washed, you get the lowest of the low to do it. But Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Even Judas's feet. Don't forget that. Even Jesus washed. But he talks about the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and the one in prison. In this passage, the word used for servant is diakonos. Lord, when did we not diakonos? When did we not serve you? When we talk about shifting our attitudes towards servanthood, I hope you can see that these two concepts have to work together. They have to go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. We bind ourselves to the master, but we also commit ourselves to the ministry. It's not just about coming to worship and coming to Bible study and being a good doulos who is bound to the master without doing the diakonos, without doing the ministry that we're called to do. We're also called to do the diakonos. We can't just do the diakonos and not be a doulos. They work together. We are called to be both a servant to the master, Jesus, but to be a servant to his ministry. That's individually. That's also to the church. So if there's one thing we have to shift out of as a church and as an individual, it's this idea that we can do or be a Christian just by coming to church on Sunday morning and we're good to go. Check that off our list and we'll be back next Sunday. That's not what Jesus was calling us to do. The third word for servant in the New Testament is the word huperetes, H-U-P-E-R-E-T-E-S. This specific kind of servant means literally under oarsman or under rower. When you think about those big boats that used to go out into battle, these are the slave galleys that used to sit on the underside of the boat and they would row and position the boat where they're supposed to be in place for battle. No one ever saw these individuals, but they're the ones who positioned the boat in the right place to do their job. Invisible, unsung heroes who keep the boat moving forward. These are the invisible, unsung heroes in the church who keep the church moving forward. You might never see them in front of everyone. They might never stand up here on the stage, but behind the scenes, they're the ones who keep everything going. They're the ones who make sure chairs and tables are set up for the right meetings and everything going on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Sunday afternoon. They're the ones who work on the technology, make everything ready to go for Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Thursday night or whatever the case may be. They're the ones who have coffee ready for you on Sunday morning when you get here so you can have that cup of coffee before you have Sunday school on Sunday morning. They're the ones who have the microphone set up and the music ready to go. They're the ones who count the offering that's brought in. They're the ones who do the little things to make sure the pantry's set up. You'll never see them out in front of everybody. Those superiorities, those servants are the ones that are crucial to the ministry and mission of the church. It's only used three times in Scripture, that word. One time it was used to describe King David. The other time it was used to describe Paul in his ministry. The other time it was used to describe one of the gospel writers in his ministry of writing for the gospel. Doulos, diakonos, and huperetes. Three servants that we each need in the church here at First Baptist Elon, and three servants that maybe you're called to be. I know you're called to be a doulos. I know you're called to be a diakonos. Maybe you're a parakeet too. You never know. So what does it take to shift our attitude from one of power and entitlement to one of empowerment? college classes, whether it be work, whether it be running errands, whether it be taking care of our loved ones, whatever it may look like, Father, it looks different for every one of us, but our shift in our attitude all goes back to the same place about being a servant for you. Thank you for showing us what it looks like as you wash the disciples' feet. And we've got a lot of work to do. Father, it's not about us. It's about you. We lift this prayer in the name of the one, you, who showed us what it looks like, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As we come to the time of invitation and our closing hymn, maybe today for the very first time you recognize what Jesus did for you. He gave it all. He came to earth and gave it all for you. And if that's where you are this morning, I'll be down front. Come talk with me. Let me talk to you what it means to give it all for him. Or maybe today you're looking for a church family who's looking to part of this family, or maybe just today you just recognize, you know what, maybe I haven't been a good doulos, maybe I haven't been a good diakonos, maybe I haven't been a good paraclete, but I feel called to do that today. The altar's always open. This is God's altar. It's not my altar. It's not the church's altar. This is God's altar. Come pray. Lay it down for him. Come, I'll pray with you as well. Wherever you're called to do today, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. Travis Dillon, give her a great warm welcome here, but many of you have met her already before. So this is just I don't know what the word is, but I can't even take that. So thank you for being a part of the congregation. Let's as we go in peace today, know that we go as servants of Christ. We go as a congregation called to make a difference in this world. And maybe it involves a little attitude adjustment. It doesn't involve a wrestler picking you up over your head. It doesn't involve having to listen to country music. It doesn't involve having to listen to Jimmy Buffett. But if that helps out a lot, go ahead and do it. But change that attitude.